The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. Is this fair? We sit and count our chairs stacked. So, story at ESPN.com, they do this every year, where they kind of set the ceiling and floor for every team, and then have a little blurb from, you know, the ESPN NFL Nation beat reporter. And they do this, again, they use one of Chewy's favorite things, an algorithm. Their football power index, projected win totals for every team based on 20,000 season simulations performed by ESPN Stats Information Team. But to find a high and low, they picked out the middle 90% of those simulations. So
let me guess.
Yep.
Is that where you're going?
Yeah, you can guess.
Okay. All right, let me first, we know what the ceiling is for the Packers. The floor is probably 10-7.
7-10.
Is the floor. Without anyone getting hurt?
Well, I'm guessing that, you know, that factors in injuries and, yeah, 7-10 is the floor.
That's not making playoffs.
Oh, 7-10, no. 7-10 is not making the playoffs.
I don't agree with that.
For example, so do you want to take a guess at what the Detroit Lions ceiling and floor is?
I would say 13-4.
Yep.
And then based upon the Packers, I mean, the only way the Packers are going 7-10 is, hate to say it, either lose two receivers or a receiver and a tight end, and
I mean,
you lose your quarterback.
I mean, you can have some bad luck in tight games, and they've got a tougher schedule this year.
Okay, so let's go Detroit. I'll say 9-8.
8-9. So you're right there.
Yeah.
Right there.
Okay.
Bears, you want to take a guess at the Bears? We don't need to do Minnesota because...
Well, Bears, I will go 11-7.
11-6 is the ceiling.
Yeah, that's 18, right?
Yeah.
I meant next year.
You're getting, yes, let's say you're getting ready for the 18-game schedule.
Okay, 11-6, yep. And their floor... Six and 11.
Yep, that nailed it.
Yeah, okay.
Nailed it. So then they also then list the biggest X factor. And Rob lists the biggest X factor for the Green Bay Packers, running back Josh Jacobs. And this, when I saw this morning, it made me start to think. And I'll just read the quick little blurb here that Rob. Because this is usually on the defense, and the defense almost never lives up to the challenge, hence the Packers being on their third defensive coordinator in the past six seasons, maybe it's worth considering the difference between good and great for this team is whether Jacobs can have the kind of impact Aaron Jones had when healthy. Jacobs' age, 26 compared to Jones' 29, and durability were among the reasons the Packers made the change at running back, but he has big shoes to fill. And that got me thinking, because the Packers got hot last year, Chew, when Aaron Jones got back,
yes,
and did something he had never done in his career. Never had done in his career in terms of the efficiency that he did against Carolina, Minnesota, Chicago, continued that into the postseason against Dallas, where he had those five consecutive 100-yard games.
Yeah, but isn't Josh Jacobs' success more dependent on the offensive line than it is himself?
I
just think the offensive line is a little unsettled. I think it's unsettled. Let me tell you why. Because I say it every year. Rookies have to learn how to, when you get into this league, you really don't know how to play hurt.
Sure.
Now, there's a difference between hurt and injured. We've heard it before. Are you hurt or are you injured?
I always get those confused. Injured, yes, is the bad one, right? You can play
injuries.
Injury
is the bad one. Yeah. You can't play through injuries, or you shouldn't play through injuries, but you have to play
when you're hurt.
And we see that with Christian Watson, because I think he's a little immature his first couple years. I mean, have we heard one thing about him in injury other than,
there was one day where he was like hauled off and everybody went down on a knee and everybody thought he,
oh man, what's going on? And it turns out he was fine and back at practice.
So I think he probably is learning how to play hurt, right? Because his payday's not far off if he's going to get one. Morgan kind of, I kind of have that feeling about him, and I have the same feeling about Lloyd. You know? Because back in the day, if you're a rookie and you're banged up, you're not getting time off. I'm sorry. And I know it's a different NFL, but why Holmgren did it is because you have to learn how to play hurt.
Well, in defense of Marshawn Lloyd, whatever was happening before, I don't know. But right now, it's a hamstring injury. He's at, like, there's talks that he may not be ready for the start of the season.
Yes.
You know, so right now, I would say with Marshawn Lloyd, it's definitely an injury.
So my question is, Morgan has a year where he plays, let's say, 8 games, 9 games. And then you have Sean Ryan. Who's your next guy up? Royce Newman? I mean, do we have to push Monk along?
Yeah, I mean, Monk's probably the next in line there. Based on everything that we've heard from camp, that he's looked pretty good at different spots. But they're also moving Sean Ryan around to a number of different spots, right? Like, even though that, you know, oh, hey, Monk looks kind of good. Yeah, but Sean Ryan's getting time at center. Like, Sean Ryan seems to be, without a doubt, the
next man. He's the swing man. He's the inside swing man. Yeah.
And if Walker or Tom get hurt, you're probably kicking Morgan or Elgton Jenkins out into a tackle spot.
Monk kind of reminds me a little bit of Tom.
Okay.
Same kind of body type. Versatile.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to find a spot for him.
Yeah, but I mean, they clearly are not high on Andre Dillard or Caleb Jones or Kadeem Telford.
But let me ask you this. If you rank, Josh, you can jump in here too. If you rank the left tackles in this league, where does Rashid Walker fit?
He's probably bottom third. Bottom third to middle. So, I mean, I don't know enough about tackles, but I mean, he's somebody that they clearly trust, but I mean, he's not going to be a Pro Bowler anytime soon.
Is he what he is now?
No, I mean, he's still a young player. I mean, if you have a young player that you trust to put at left tackle, that's good enough for me.
Yeah,
I mean, he's probably just as good as, I mean, who was your left tackle in the Super Bowl? Bruce?
Bruce. But yeah. I you know, I want to toot my own horn, but.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Well, I kind of do. I made Bruce's life a little easier.
Yeah.
Because I knew when he needed help. And for me, to posting up is really just blasting the D end with one arm to feed him. Like, if I knew I was the third
receiver in a progression.
Yeah, in the progression, you know, the coaches wouldn't even have to tell me, like, help, you know, help Bruce out a little bit, you know? So I don't know if, I mean, you got some pretty good D ends that you're going to have to be going against in just the NFC North.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of good pass rushers in the NFC North, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But he held up against a lot of those guys last year. Like, He did. Like, do I think that Rashid Walker's a franchise left tackle? Probably not.
But do you think they expected Morgan to remove him? And they're like, I don't know if this guy's a tackle, because I thought he was coming in as a left tackle.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I was under no illusion he'd be the starting left tackle.
Really?
No. Well,
do you think he will be eventually?
Yes.
But this has always kind of been the Packers' plan. And even though it was a different general manager when Ted Thompson drafted Brian Bulaga, mm-hmm. like obviously their plan is they wanted him to be the left tackle. He wasn't even starting until Tausch got hurt in the Super Bowl year,
yeah.
And then he slides into right tackle. And eventually they want to move him to left tackle. That spot opens up in 2014. Bulaga then gets hurt. Well, and now you find, I guess we have David Bakhtiari. We got to throw him in, and Bakhtiari was as good as he was.
They also tried Bulaga at guard, to which...
Yes.
Yeah, he's got which more of that body. He's kind of a road grader,
he self-admittedly,
which is typically your right tackle.
Yeah, he self-admittedly said he was not very good at the guard position. He was made to be a tackle.
Yeah, he's a perfect right tackle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just a road grader.
He had a great career with the Packers as... You know, a right tackle for a decade.
Let me ask you this. Were they hurt last year?
The offensive line?
No, just in general, the team.
Oh, they were very healthy as a team. I mean, they missed Aaron Jones for a handful of games, but other than that, like they were pretty healthy.
The wide receivers were a swinging door of who's playing, who's not.
It's Christian Watson.
Yeah, Jayden Reed and I believe Wicks both missed games at certain points.
But was there anyone that was out for the year?
No, Jair didn't. Did he play a full
Jair?
No, Jair was hurt.
Yeah.
At times. I mean, Jayden Reed still played 16 games.
He was hurt because he didn't like the D coordinator.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, like, if you're playing 15 to 17 games, like.
Yeah. I just remember the second half of the season, it was kind of whack-a-mole of who's going to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why so many different guys produced.
That's how Bo Melton ends up being your first 100-yard receiver. But, I mean, Jayden was, I mean, other than Christian Watson, everybody was playing 15 to 17 games wide receiver-wise.
Okay.
Aaron Jones missed a bunch of games.
Musgrave
was
out for a little while.
Yeah, lacerated kidney will do that to you.
Uh-huh. That's a big one.
But I would say for the most part, the Packers were a fairly healthy team last year.
Okay.
Like, they weren't missing, I mean, after Bakhtiari played in the first game, like, the offensive line was pretty together for most of the season. Defensively, you didn't have any big injuries over there. You had, obviously, Rashawn coming off of an injury, and then Jair was, out there sparingly. But I would say they were relatively healthy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which makes me a little, honestly, with the offensive line, it's concerning because injuries just happen there because, you're in it. And it seems like you keep bringing up, like, I wanted to have a conversation about Josh Jacobs here, and you keep bringing up all week long, you've done this, where you keep bringing up the offensive line. You can tell it's right at the top of your mind. Like, you're really concerned about this offensive line.
I just think out of Elgton Jenkins, and I love Tom. Mm-hmm. He's not really doing much, though.
Because he's
can't tell
back
with
from
that
the,
pack. Well, sure.
He's coming back from the pack.
And honestly, I don't know how comfortable I feel about this offensive line right now. Now, what gives me some comfort is they always seem to figure it out. Because remember last year at the beginning of the year, they were terrible?
Yeah.
They were terrible, and we're sitting there going, how can they call this one of the best offensive lines in football?
Mm-hmm.
They're clearly not.
Oh, you look at the
sack
numbers.
And then they figured it out.
Yeah, you look at the sack numbers. Like, in that stretch where we talk about when Jordan Love was bad versus the stretch when Jordan Love was good.
Yes.
I mean, and part of it's probably he's more confident and he's getting rid of the football, not holding on to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the sack numbers from the first half to the second half of the season are starkly different.
I mean, I remember Elgton Jenkins saying he was playing when he shouldn't have been.
Yes.
Because of his ACL wasn't ready yet?
I think there was other stuff. And Zach Tom also was kind of battling something there for a while. I just know basically... those guys were old school. We're going to play because we still think we give our team the best chance to win.
Yeah.
And they, Elgton Jenkins, then when he started performing again, everyone was like, well, you probably shouldn't have been playing. now that we see how good you've become again.
Again, the question that Chewy always says, when Chewy was debating when he was playing in the 90s, at what percent am I better than Jeff Thomas?
Yes, exactly.
At what percent is Elgton Jenkins better than Royce Newman?
Oh. Wow.
And I think that's why Elgton Jenkins was playing.
Yeah.
I think that's a big reason behind it.
I mean, you lose Jenkins and it's... is it trade time?
Well, you heard Jason earlier today. Rob Domofsky told them on Wilde and Tausch, and Demo's going to be joining us once we get closer and closer to the season every Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. The Packers are on the hunt. They're trying to find they're trying to find a tackle.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Does that mean Dillard's not going to make this team?
Can't imagine.
And unless he has to.
Yeah.
I think the Packers could sustain injury to the interior a lot more.
Better than the edge.
Sean, they seem to, despite the comments from from Mike McCarthy. From Matt LaFleur about, Sean Ryan's conditioning, they seem to trust him. Like, he was still getting snaps last year. He was rotating in at that position last year with John Runyon Jr., he is somebody, even though Jordan Morgan's going to be the starting right guard, and then they put him at center, seemed to do all right at center against the Browns this last week. He seems to be the guy of, okay, any one of our interior guys gets hurt, Sean Ryan's going in. Mm-hmm. And they seem to trust him. After that, it gets dicey quickly.
Yeah.
And again, having, let's be honest, having seven offensive linemen, it's a luxury. Having that third swing tackle, good luck to Green Bay trying to find one.
Yes.
Because you know who else wants swing tackles?
Everyone in the
31
league.
Other teams in the NFL.
Exactly.
It's tough and they're hard to come by.
I wonder if they regret getting rid of Yash.
It seems that they didn't care for Yash's attitude.
Yeah.
His attitude? Like, I thought he was lazy.
Well, wouldn't you attribute to that?
Well, you're essentially calling Ryan lazy too.
I did not call Ryan Lazy.
I'm just LaFleur. What do you call someone that's out of shape?
It seems to be two different things with Yash and Sean Ryan.
They also did not like the competitiveness mm-hmm. of Yash.
Okay.
So they put him in that competition with Rashid Walker, and he did not rise to the competition. Yeah. So they didn't like that competitiveness factor.
All right, let me ask you this. Would you feel more comfortable today with Yash at left tackle or Dillard?
It's Yash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've seen.
That's why I'm saying
Yash. I've seen Yash play football and be fine at left tackle for the Green Bay Packers. And this
maybe it's just Dillard's not good without pads on.
By the way, this is something that people keep bringing up. David Bakhtiari.
Yeah.
Keep seeing it on the talk and text line. Oh, Packers need a tackle. David Bakhtiari. Packers need a tackle. David Bakhtiari. I can't imagine.
They're not going back to that well.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
However.
Maybe if they he
do
paid
I think
them
that he could be the best option?
That's break glass in case of emergency.
Who would you rather have on this team? Andre Dillard or...
Oh, Bakhtiari all day long.
All right. But again, that's... I have a hard time imagining them going back to that well because he's already counting against so much for the cap.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they had to have the dead money.
I agree.
I think that's something that's going to continue... It's probably going to be something that continues to be brought up by the fan base. But I don't think the Packers are actually going to dive in and attempt to do that. We've got the top 8 at 8 coming up next. But first, I do want to tell you about my friends at the Wisconsin Country Club. Because if you're looking for a great golfing experience, look, you need to go out to the Wisconsin Country Club. I joined there late last year. I have really enjoyed my first full season out there. Had a little bit of time yesterday. Was able to go out, enjoy the practice area. The range is fantastic. They have a great chipping and bunker area to work on some pitch shots, some chipping. The putting green, fantastic. And then, you know, I was able to sneak in 9 holes as well because the golf course is fantastic. And what's also great about Wisconsin Country Club, no assessments ever. No food and beverage minimums. And if you're somebody who's looking for that total family experience with your country club, Wisconsin Country Club's got you covered. Pool, tennis, pickleball, themed Sunday fun days at the pool. Find out more at thewisconsincountryclub.com.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh?
One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh my God.
Show me chicken.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Different follow-ups before we get to the top 8 at 8. This coming from Dave and Aaron. Chu, do you feel better about the line if you see tight ends and backs chipping defensive ends? The reason I ask, I haven't really seen Jacobs enough as far as is he a good or decent blocker along with his running. So do you feel good about the? Do you feel better about the offensive line?
Yeah, there's things you can do to take care of that. You know, because if a back, what they used to do as well is if a back's just running a check down, just chip the D end. It's more feeding him to the tackle so he's got more of his body.
Gotcha.
Less edge.
And then he adds in, have the Niners made a deal with Trent Williams yet? If we can afford him, that would be the guy. Look, it'd be great if the Packers could make a deal for Trent Williams. I'm going to tell you what's not going to happen.
Trading for Trent Williams.
Trent Williams ain't going anywhere.
You know what? Let it be San Fran's problem. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Let it be their problem. Same with Ayuk.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the only reason. Like, the question I asked about Philly, I just want to know how this affects the Packers.
100%.
You know?
What's it going to affect the Packers week one?
I don't think the Packers are going to be investing in a 36-year-old left tackle who's looking for even more money than he's making right now.
As one of the highest.
Yeah.
Can't see that. Tackles.
You know what that is, though?
Part of the plan.
What I think that is with a 36-year-old... I really just don't want to go to camp.
Largely, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why some of those guys that are retired right now might be seeing themselves their way into maybe a third preseason game to get a freshen up.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, look at that. They're back. All right, it is top 8 at 8 time. I have a list of 8 things in front of me. Chewy is going to guess till he gets one incorrect. Then we'll open it up to you, the fans, at 800-990-3776. We have spent a lot of time talking about running backs, Chew, so I am looking for the last 8 Green Bay Packers who have led the team in rushing. The last eight Green Bay Packers who have led the team in rushing.
Okay. We'll start with Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones, five times he did it, 2023, 2022, 2020, 2019, and 2018. He led the team in rushing.
Let's go Eddie Lacy.
Eddie Lacy led the team in rushing three times, 2015, 2014, and his rookie of the year season in 2013.
What number was he on the list?
Five.
So we can go back a little farther. Eddie Lacy. I'm blanking on Aaron Jones. Who was there before Joe Lacy? Let's go all the way back to Amon.
Too far back.
Yeah, that's
you went too far back. Thought you might do a little bit better. Joshy, I did not share this list with you. Sometimes I ask for your advice on the list. Today I just went rogue, decided to make it myself. Do you have any guesses that you want to throw out there to help the big guy out?
James Starks has to be on that list, right?
James Starks led the team in rushing in 2011. He had 578 yards. He is number seven on the list.
That's bad.
Is there
578 yards for a season?
That's only the third worst of the ones on. There are lower numbers than that on this list, too.
Okay.
Is there a chance somebody like Jamal Williams would make the list? I know he was there a lot with Aaron Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So the one year that Aaron Jones did not lead the team in 2017, Jamal Williams had 556 yards, and that was in 2017.
Good pull.
There's one name that I don't want to say.
I know who it is. Say it anyways.
Is there a chance here that Ty Montgomery led the team?
In 2016, Ty Montgomery had 457 yards. And so you bring that up. And at the time, I remember like chastising Aaron Rodgers when he was like, yeah, 2016, one of the best years I've ever had. And like statistically, it was one of the worst. But when you start breaking down that team, it was bad. The fact that they were in overtime in the divisional round is unbelievable. Unbelievable how bad that team was. Bleeping Montgomery.
I thought you were going another direction.
Where are we at on the list?
When they were bad.
So we have Aaron Jones is one, Jamal Williams is three, Ty Montgomery four, Eddie Lacy five, James Starks is number seven. Are you going to punt, or do you want us to go to callers? What do you want to do?
Let's go to callers here. Fill for me, and I'll get them on the line.
800-990-3776. We have three left on today's top eight. We're looking for the last eight running backs to lead the Packers in rushing. Aaron Jones, one, did it five times. Do not have two. Jamal Williams is three, led the team in 2017. Eddie Montgomery in 2016 is number four. Eddie Lacy, three times, number five. And James Starks led the team in rushing in 2011 with 578 yards. Let's go out to Dumpy in West Bend. Dumpy, you're on the top eight today.
Good morning. Hey, I'm going to take the obvious one here. The man who rushed for four touchdowns in one game, Al Bundy.
Okay.
Al Bundy.
So Dumpy, you just wanted to come in to get a married with children joke off?
I just wanted to say hi.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. All right. Hi, Dumpy.
Hello, Dumpy.
Hey, buddy.
See ya. That's what I say.
Josh. Let's go out to John in Milwaukee. John, top eight at eight, the last eight players to lead the Packers in rushing. Who you got?
All right. So are we talking players or just running backs?
It is running backs. All the players are running backs. So if you were thinking Aaron Rodgers led the team in rushing one year, that is not the case.
All right. Maybe this is not too far back. Ryan Grant, maybe?
Oh, Ryan Grant is too far back.
Is it really?
Back. Yes.
I forget about Ryan Grant. He was a good back.
Oh, he was really good back. 800-990-3776. Again, we are looking for the top eight running backs to lead the Packers in rushing. The last eight running backs to lead the Packers in rushing, I should say. Aaron Jones is one. We don't have two. Jamal Williams is three. Ty Montgomery, four. Eddie Lacy, five. Don't have six. And James Starks is number seven. Austin and Slinger, you're on the top eight at eight. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We got Ryan Grant by chance.
So Ryan Grant was just guessed. He was incorrect. So we'll give you another one.
There's a guy that's second on this list that we should be able to get here.
Yeah, I do not know, man. I apologize.
All right. Appreciate you calling in, Austin. 800-990-3776. The last eight running backs to lead the Packers in rushing.
He couldn't have been here very long, Joshy.
Well, so there's one name that's kind of like a trick name on this list. I figured we would have eight. I definitely thought we would have two by now. Six is unfair.
Two I thought we had named already, if I'm being fully honest.
You have not.
I know.
You have not.
That's why I didn't say it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as embarrassing as leaving Aaron Rodgers off the list, you know, when Aaron Rodgers was the last one on the list in terms of the preseason touchdowns that we did, preseason throwing touchdowns. But we'll see how we do here. 800-990-3776. The last eight players to lead the Packers in rushing. We go to Sam in Fond du Lac. Sam, you're up on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right. Is John Kuhn on the list?
John Kuhn is not on the list. He never led the team in rushing.
If we could lead you to water here.
Zach, you're up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A.J. Dillon,
number two on the list.
What?
He had 803 yards in 2021.
What happened to Aaron Jones?
I mean, what always happens to Aaron Jones?
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Do you have any more, Zach? We are still looking for number six and number eight. Just for reference, Eddie Lacy at number five last led the team in rushing in 2013, 14, and 15. James Starks at number seven was 2011. So do you have any more guesses, Zach?
Brandon Jackson.
Was that the tough one?
No. In 2010, Brandon Jackson led the team with 703 yards, leaving us with what I believe is in the impossible one. This is going to be the tough one to get.
I know it, I think.
Okay.
He barely played for the Packers. Alex Green.
Alex Green.
Wow.
With 464 yards. Led the Green Bay Packers in rushing
from
in
Hawaii?
2012. Alex Green from Hawaii.
Weren't they good in 2012?
They were, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
Running backs weren't.
Yeah. See, I was, Joshy, I thought you were going to go Sam Congato.
No, I knew that was too far back.
That's too far back.
And I don't even know if he led the team in rushing that season.
I'm guessing he did.
I thought his run was like the last
like
four
five,
games.
He was like 5 games. All right, but the team was so bad that year that, I mean, he had like a couple hundred-yard games that he certainly could have led the team in rushing in 2005.
What's the benchmark now?
Gatto did lead them in 2000.
He did. In 2000 what?
2005. Sam.
What is the benchmark for a good back? Not a great back. And I consider Josh Jacobs a great back. Mm-hmm. What's the benchmark today for a good back? 800 yards?
I would say 800 to 900.
And then for Jacobs, it's 1,000 or more?
For Jacobs, I would say 1,100 to 12.
Okay.
Because, I mean, when you take a look at last year, like, Christian McCaffrey led the league with 1,459 yards.
Mm-hmm.
There were only, maybe it is just over 1,000, Chew.
It is? Is it because, let me ask you this, because backs don't play 17 games like they did back when I played? Because there seemed like there were so many more 1,000-yard rushers than there are today.
So last year, take a guess, how many 1,000-yard rushers were there last year?
I'll say five.
There were 12.
Oh, yeah. That was close.
There's the workhorses don't really exist in the NFL anymore. There's a lot of switching out, a lot of, like, you have a tandem more so than you have a Derrick Henry or Christian McCaffrey who's going to handle every touch for entire games.
So we'll never, you think never's probably strong, but there's a solid chance we will not see a 2,000-yard rusher ever again.
I bet we do. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that
Derrick Henry
rushed for over 2,000 yards.
Yeah, but he's
I mean, that was
freak.
2020. Yeah, I'm guessing there's going to be another freak out there somewhere that just gets a bunch of touches. Team that's bad, and the only thing they do is turn around and hand the ball off. I'm guessing there's another one. But, you know, again, I think we're going to see a 2,000-yard rushing season this year?
No.
I do not.
No.
I do not. Thank you to, for everybody for participating. Also, thank you to P. Pablo pointing out that's Dr. Gatto to you. Dr.
Yeah, Sean that Gatto, is true.
Because he became a doctor after that. Chewy, there's only one place to go. And I know you're you're celebrating. You're getting excited. You're going to be an empty nester here again.
Yeah.
Kids are going back to school. And that means maybe, you know, take your wife over to the jewelry center.
Maybe a little empty nester piece of jewelry?
There you go.
Hey, that would make my wife happy, and that usually means a visit to our guy, Dean Dean, the dancing machine at the jewelry center. Earrings, custom jewelry, and repair services. The jewelry center does it all, including top-of-the-line engagement rings. And when that day comes for my four boys to take their next step in their lives, you can bet they will be heading into the jewelry center for the engagement ring. The jewelry center offers great deals and selections on both lab-grown and naturally mined diamonds for the rings. Plus, you always hear about how Gabe went to the jewelry center and had a great experience with the jewelry center specialist to pick out that perfect ring. Stop into one of their three locations, Brookfield, Greenfield, or Burlington, today. Or check out the full inventory online at shoptjc.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes, that would have been much worse ended up happening.
Finally got the which would be worse and what would be better. Finally yes. We figured it out.
You can't just be showing your junk on national TV.
It would have got a lot of clicks.
On 94.5 ESPN.
How much do I need to care about kicking? Do I need to really pay attention? Is it the only thing worth paying attention to on Sunday? I mean, we know the starters, at least offensively, aren't going to play. I don't know about the defense if they're going to have some of those guys out there for a limited period of time. But the Packers think that they're going to be getting a lot of work during the next 2 days and joint practices. And again, I don't care who wins, but I do care when there are like six kicks missed combined between the two. Because that just... that sends off the spidey senses in my brain of, uh-oh, this isn't good. But how much can you trust these guys? Even though, again, you watched the game this past Saturday, chewing on, oh, okay, Greg Joseph, I feel more comfortable. Yeah. He just looks more confident. But I don't care how confident you look if the ball's not going between the uprights.
No, and yesterday, Carlson won the battle. I mean, it wasn't.
Sure.
Much of a battle.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there was actually a winner other than somebody just lost less.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, it really doesn't matter until they lose a game for you, I guess. Right?
Yeah.
No, I'm not confident really in either one of them because a handful of the kicks should be... I mean, I would think a 45-yarder should be close to automatic. Mm-hmm. I mean, there should be a 90-something percent chance you're going to make a 45-yarder. Or is that too high?
What's the percentage again?
90-something. I would say your top kickers in the league are maybe missing one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's the top kicker in the league? The kid out of Kansas City?
I mean, when I think the top kicker, I default to Tucker out of Baltimore. But I can I can look it up. I've got this in front of me.
I mean, who else are you going to bring in? They brought in pretty much everybody possible.
Yeah, look, I mean, at this point, you're just kind of stuck, right? And the best chance that they would potentially have is by bringing in somebody else who loses. But then you're bringing in somebody who lost a kicking competition to be your kicker. Yeah. Like, that's not a great solution either.
I have the distances and averages here. This is as of 5 years ago, and kicking has improved.
Mm-hmm.
But at 45 yards, it's about 78.82% for 45-yard field goals.
Okay. I don't know, but I mean, if they're going to continue to look during the season, it's going to be subpar all year long. You're never going to find a kicker in the middle of the season that's going to kick the way you want. So that's a concern. The other thing I'll be watching in the game is our guy, A.J. Dillon. Are they going to play? They have to play him, right? If they don't play him, he's on the roster.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. If he doesn't play, his spot is safe. And maybe they don't. I have no idea. I mean, I think that we are going to find out a lot there, certainly, in the game on Sunday night.
As far as the backup running back?
Yeah, I think if he doesn't play, that tells us a lot about two things. A, the status of Marshawn Lloyd, and B...
I don't think they're counting on Lloyd at all. They can't count on him.
Yeah, but I'm saying his roster spot is safe. And before you even put him on IR, he has to make the 53.
Yeah, I know.
Before you can put him on IR that allows you to bring him back.
But you think someone, even though he probably is going to play a limited role this year, you think someone would snatch him up if you put him on the practice squad? He's that good of a player?
Marshawn Lloyd?
Yeah.
He's a third-round pick, Chu.
Yeah, third
you
round.
You put any third-round pick on the practice squad,
would they have
what's
taken Jace Sternberger?
Yes. After the before, again, at before the year that they drafted Jace Sternberger, you put Jace Sternberger on the practice squad, then, someone's going to scoop him up.
Unless Wilson goes off for 100 yards in this game.
But then it doesn't even matter. Again, if A.J. Dillon doesn't play, that tells you how they feel about him.
Yeah, but the problem is you're going to eat up another spot on a position group that could probably use one extra guy.
I mean, they could run the risk of just keeping two on the initial roster, putting, you know, again, if the hamstring injury is bad enough for Lloyd, if they have to put him on IR and he misses a handful of games at the beginning of the season, if that happens, you could run the risk, because I don't think anybody's scooping up A.J. Dillon. I don't think anybody's scooping up Emmanuel Wilson, where you could run the risk of putting them on the practice squad or releasing them and then bringing them back onto the 53 after you put Marshawn Lloyd on IR to open up a roster spot. That is a risk you could take. That's one of your options.
No, it's a tough position to be in. I wonder if they did away with a DeGuara position and they want to keep four tight ends and develop Sims into that position. I think Tyler Davis is too thin. I don't think he could handle that position. I don't know. I don't know what you do. I know you can't count on Lloyd as being your backup going into this season. And there's really no other way to protect him.
No, and again, him having this hamstring injury,
so they're kind of stuck.
Yeah. This is tough.
This is the tough thing with young players. You know what I mean? Well, like I said, a hamstring's a hamstring, but
There's not much you can do there. It's just...
But how bad is... Well,
how bad is what?
A hamstring. I mean, everyone has a hamstring.
You tell me. You're the one who played in the league. I don't know. I'm guessing your hamstring's pretty important if you're a running back.
I mean, I used the hamstring card maybe two times in my life.
Okay.
Where it was hot. A Tuesday.
I was about to say, well, what were the two times?
14th
Please
day in pads.
Please tell me the two times you used the hammy.
What's the matter, Chu? Andy, what's the matter? Hamstring's a little tight. You're out. And then you get the look from the other tight ends.
But you were only able to do this after, like, you were an established Pro Bowler,
this is,
right?
Yes,
like,
yeah.
92, 93.
But you still get the look from the other times, other Titans going, I can't believe you just did that. What do you mean? It's tight. Wink, wink.
I do think there's a certain aspect of the Packers are protecting a lot of their young assets. I think if they kind of have anything nagging, they just shut them down.
I think that's pretty true across the league, Joshy.
Yeah.
I think that teams are more and more... I don't want to say aware, but just willing to protect young assets.
But like a concussion. What's a concussion today? I have no idea. I know what a concussion is.
Sure.
I know what a concussion is.
Mm-hmm.
A concussion is where you don't remember what the hell's going on. What's a concussion today? Like a hamstring. I don't know what a hamstring is.
Well, in terms of the concussion, it's if you fail the base test that you're given, right?
Sure.
If you fail that test,
okay,
they
I've
don't
had
bring you
78 concussions then.
Probably.
Based in today's football. I've had 78. In my world? In my world? In my world?
By the way, Josh was saying more than 78.
I've had eight. I've had eight documented.
Well, with what we know about brains, is you probably have had hundreds if we were to.
What are you saying? Keep in mind, I'm under the weather.
That was not a comment on you. That was a comment on the brutality
of the sport.
I'm
pretty sure it was a shot at me that he didn't think I was savvy enough to pick up on. Am I right?
He thinks you're a dummy. That's exactly what Joshy thinks. He thinks you're a dummy.
Not all the way.
He was trying to be clever about it, but he's just calling you a dummy.
I would
agree, but not all the way. Not 100%. I'm 50-50.
You're more of a dumb than a dummy?
Yes. But I don't know what the hell... The hell's a hamstring, you know? Hamstring to me is purple on the back. Blown out. That's a hamstring. Well, A tightness? No, you're playing.
Yeah, I'm the fact that Marshawn Lloyd isn't playing, isn't practicing, that's a medical decision. Right. Yes. I don't think that's Lloyd going, ooh. I don't think that's Lloyd going like you did, like, hamstring's kind of tight, coach. Because I think he wants to be out there.
As
I think
this young up-and-coming rookie, I'm not all that interested in being on the field and proving myself. I can't see that being his decision.
Yeah. But it's putting him in a pickle.
You
though,
in year
isn't
seven,
it?
I can definitely see that.
But it's putting him in a pickle. Am I right?
Yeah, it puts him in a tough spot.
So there's no way, you cannot put a person on IR. What if he blew his Achilles out? Can you put him on IR?
Yeah, but so in order to go on, you can put anybody on IR right now. But if you put him on IR before the season, you can't give him a designation to come back.
I see, so there's no coming back.
Correct. So yeah, if somebody blows out an Achilles, put him on IR now, it's fine. It's if you want to...
So why don't they just put him on IR and say you're not playing this year?
Because it's not that bad of a hamstring.
They don't know that.
Seems like they kind of do. Like, well, you don't understand what a hamstring is in 2024 NFL. I'm guessing the team doctors around the Packers do.
No, how it worked for me in 92 when I had a bad back.
Yeah.
It was like, all right, we're putting you on IR to protect you.
Yeah.
And then the league would come around and not Ron, but one of his minions would say, hey, the league's coming in to check out these injuries. Just start limping around. I'd be like, okay. I swear to God.
Wait, so you're just like walking around
like an old man, like, oh, my back.
92
to squat to you.
92 to 2024 is basically like stone tablets to laptops.
It's not that far back. We had papyrus back then from birch trees. We didn't have stone tablets. I hate youth. I really
they
do.
They did not.
They become youth used to shut up and sit in the corner back in my day. Now they're a bunch of smart asses. What happened?
Wait, you're telling me that Ron would come up to you and be like, hey.
Yeah, I swear. It was like week three. He's like, hey, limp around and stuff. Like, oh. It's like John Candy when he had to pick up the trunk in Trains, Planes. Oh, my back. Yeah. That is real.
Oh, man. Fantastic. Look, the weekend is approaching. You're going to be watching some football, some preseason football. Nothing goes better with football in my mind than Palermo's Pizza. You want to make sure your freezer is stocked. Mine is stocked right now. Whether we're talking about Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, you are going to find a pizza you absolutely love. And right now, I saw this yesterday when I was at the grocery store. I had to get it. I have to try it. I'm really curious what it tastes like. A Detroit-style Screamin' Sicilian. So you get those caramelized edges of kind of that pan-type crust. I can't wait to try it. I am super excited, but it just shows you one of the many ways that Palermo's is continuously making all of their pizza line better. And look, lines better, excuse me. They've been doing this for over 60 years. They know what they're doing when it comes to premium frozen pizza. So find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm right-handed. I feel more confident in my left hand here just cupping right now other than my other hand cupping.
Mostly because I also...
Yeah, I get a lot more work out of the right hand.
On 94.5 ESPN. Here we go.
I said this earlier in the show. So Alex Stroph is going to be our cousin sub of the day tomorrow. Jen is off shooting another piece for ESPN. I am not going to be here. I have the day off as well. So Alex Stroph is going to be the cousin sub of the day. Chewy, do you know who Alex Stroph is?
Yes. Producer of KBN.
Could you pick him out of a police line?
I did. Yes, I did the show with him for the draft.
That's right. They did the draft show. I thought there was a really good chance that tomorrow was going to be the first time you ever met Alex Stroph. It was going to be can't miss.
I'm taking PEDs tomorrow. I will be back.
Yeah, you're great today. I think if you listen to yourself from the first segment to this segment, you sound a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, that's very nice of you, but you're a nice guy, so we really can't take you at your word.
I thought you stunk.
Thank you. I feel better.
Will T and Tausch coming up next.